Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about how to strategically gain market share. You know, in the day and age that we're in right now, everybody's looking for an opportunity somehow, some way, to gain market share, either in their category or pivoting and trying to gain market share where they may not have a core competency. So I affectionately call this the squeeze, you know, how to strategically gain market share. And it's one thing to gain market share, but it's another thing entirely to have a strategy around how you gain market share long term. Now, you may have a lot of one-hit wonder products that gain market share but have no sustainability to them whatsoever. And the short-sightedness a lot of brands have is, number one, what is our strategy? If you are pivoting, why are you pivoting? And how are you going to exceed expectations of your customer in this category of product you're selling? So in the case of the squeeze, this is through the brands that I've been associated with where I was running the product and marketing side of the business and either being a direct part of or observing how the squeeze worked within brands and how they deployed it strategically to their advantage in order to them to gain market share. And in this time that we have with the crises, everybody again is looking for ways to build and gain that market share, but don't necessarily know how to achieve it and or how to find a plan that's worked successfully before. And what I want to do here with the Visionary Chronicles is really give you this information of what has worked and in your brand or your company, if whether you're a startup or whether you're a legacy brand that's been around a very long time. I've talked about branding, I've talked about marketing, how important these things are. But what I'd like to talk about on the squeeze is how important having this innovation pipeline is. Companies like Apple, companies like Nike, Adidas, these consumer product brands, as well as tech brands that have a strategic competitive advantage because they've executed flawlessly on their product or their technology. And what it actually has done by commercializing this is it's actually leapfrogged over their competition for generations. And the plan around having this innovation pipeline that I've talked about previously is this innovation pipeline also gives you a competitive advantage when you go to market. And if you have something that's easier to use, you have something that allows people to be more effective, whatever it may be on your competitive point of difference, being able to deploy something that's generations ahead of your competition is the goal. And many of these brands that I've talked about have been able to achieve that with a singular product, but also with multiple products. Having this innovation pipeline gives you a distinct competitive advantage and allows you to take advantage of this strategy I call the squeeze. So when brands are building this innovation pipeline, it effectively allows them to control their own destiny. And the reason I say that is because when you have a culture of innovation, where from the top down, there's an expectation of that when a product is commercialized, it's best in class. And it is something that you can draw down from, meaning you have different generations of products or possibly price points that you can do with this innovation. And whether it's a product or a technology, the opportunity for you is to develop and build and grow and consistently have an innovation pipeline you can put into your product category that keeps you ahead of the competition, not only by leaps and bounds, but really effectively by generations. And what I say is build this backlog of pipeline strategically, releasing products sooner rather than later. And I'll give you a great example. Everybody looks at this adoption curve. And some brands look at it differently than others. So just as a refresher, from the beginning to end, you're looking at innovators as the ones that adopt earliest. So when a product hits the marketplace or even a pre-release, those are waiting around the door for this product to be released. Those are the innovators. Those are the ones that want the latest technology in any product. And then you've got these early adopters. That's right after the innovators. And then you've got early majority. And through the back cycle, you've got late majority, and then you have effectively the laggards, the ones that are looking for the previous generations, a cheaper product from the same brand. So each brand that I've been with personally and that I've worked with on with Liquid Mind, each one will look at this differently. And how we want to work with our brands is let them know, look at that adoption curve very strategically from an innovation perspective. Where do you want those products to be released? Now, traditionally, what you'll see is brands that don't have an innovation pipeline will bleed that product out through the end of late majority. Now, the brands that I've been with all have looked at it from the standpoint of when do we get in on the early majority and out on the early majority. So it's counterintuitive when you look at truly innovative brands and how you should look at your product pipeline is, do you have the ability to release products sooner and get them out of the market sooner? The strategy for most brands is get product in as soon as you can and then bleed this thing out through late majority. That's just the cycle that they go through. And innovators or innovative brands are looking for ways to get product in sooner, but then get it out of the marketplace quicker. What it does is it effectively creates this artificial supply and demand. When you get product out of the marketplace, when the demand is high, supply is low, that does not compress price points. That increases price points. And as a result, you've got a better contribution to your bottom line. So first thing we need to look at is, what in that adoption curve or where in that adoption curve are you at right now? You really need to make sure that you've got a pipeline. I call it a runway of innovations. And these can be both breakaway and incremental. But you have to price these things differently because everything's driven around value to consumer. So when you look at your innovation pipeline, see how and what runway you have each one of these on. You're going to put these true innovations, these breakaway technologies, you're going to put those on a separate runway. And then you've got these incremental updates you put on a separate runway, but both are going to follow along the adoption curve differently. Let me give you an example. So when you've got an innovative breakaway product that's adopted, early adopters through early majority, and then they get it out of the marketplace. And then what you do on the backside of that product is you make an incremental update and push that into the late majority on a previous generation. So when you go through this cycle of how to strategically gain market share, a couple things you're looking for. One is the ability to create a supply and demand situation on a product that at the peak of its demand, you have the ability through something you have in the innovation pipeline to move it out and create a higher demand for the new product, but then put the old product on the back end of the adoption curve on an incremental update. So effectively what you're doing is you're creating value for the consumer to want to get the next generation of product. So when you look at the adoption curve, the generations of your product will be on the late majority through laggard side. Incremental updates will also be on the late majority and laggard side. But then any new breakaway or innovations that you have will be on the value creation side. So as a result, you have a product that's being picked up by innovators and early adopters. And that's what you want. That's where the value is. That's where the high margin products sit. You can create artificial supply and demand by releasing product as soon as the innovation hits the marketplace, but then as soon as it gets into the early majority phase of the adoption curve, that's when you need to have a plan to get it out of the marketplace and then put previous generations or incremental updates on the backside. So as you're building your brand equity, you are a premium brand. You're good, better, you're the best in your category. You need to make sure that whatever you do on your product side, that there is value in whatever you put out there, because if you want to keep that on the innovator side and the early majority side and have that be the bulk of your revenue base with the higher margin products, that's the strategy you need to deploy. Let me give you a great example of a brand I was with, and we actually had deployed this strategy, was with TaylorMade on their clubs. We had just at the time come up with the movable weight technology, and I know that's a few generations ago, but it's just giving you a great example of how this squeeze works. So we had a breakaway technology that was new to the marketplace at the time. So we had the ability and the leverage in the marketplace to move along that adoption curve with other products at different price points. There was a huge demand for MWT technology, and there was this good, better, best strategy on how you hit your price points with clubs. So on the squeeze, we said, we don't have anything on the $199 level. We don't have anything on the $299 level. Our clubs are $399. So let's say that's the price point. And much higher these days, but clearly what I'm looking at is three levels of price points, as most brands and most products have an opportunity. But very few can go down that level on good, better, best unless they have this squeeze strategy in place. So this squeeze strategy with TaylorMade was, we wanted to move MWT up to the premium level, do another branded product at the $299 level that doesn't compress brand equity for our MWT program, and then have previous generations of MWT as we evolved and incrementally updated the product move to $199. Turned out, as simple as that strategy was, it was the evolution of the squeeze strategy on the pricing programs that we worked with TaylorMade inside of retail. Now, with you and your brand, the strategy could be the same. What you're looking for is, number one, first and foremost, to build that innovation pipeline. Number two is to find ways that you can move along the adoption curve and not degrade your brand equity. The third piece is to find a way through drawdowns on innovative technologies that you have through either generations of products or incremental updates, to be able to move along that price point chain that effectively moves almost in tandem with how the adoption curve works. If you move along that adoption curve from innovators through laggards, really the only thing that changes there is the price point. People are looking for a better price on the backside with late majority and laggards, so give them what they want. But at the same time, don't degrade brand equity. You want to make sure that whatever you do in pricing your programs, that you don't degrade brand equity. And you don't need to apologize for previous generations at a lower price point as long as it's conveyed to people that that's what it is. And there are many brands that do this squeeze, and you'll see it across Nike, you'll see it across Adidas, Under Armour, consumer product brands. They'll take something out of a product that doesn't have the same value visually as another product that's at a higher price point. So you'll see this squeeze strategy with products. And if you're not currently doing this strategy with your brand, you need to find a way to do it and work with your retailers, because they're always looking for the late majority, the laggards. They all love the premium brands, but they can't touch these. So that's why previous generations, incremental updates, value creators on the front end with innovators and early adopters at higher price point give you better margin, and then higher volume on the backside with previous generations or incremental updates on a product that you have in the pipeline that are specifically designed for that consumer. So the squeeze really is finding a way to maintain your equity, finding a way to grow revenue and gain market share from your competitors that don't have that strategy deployed. And it's a very difficult strategy because you have to balance your brand equity and the trust of your community and your consumers. And I always go back to that. because that is so important these days with D2C business, e-com business, being able to establish a trust factor and a loyalty factor with these communities and those advocates for your brands that love your story, but don't understand necessarily why you're building this type of product. So consistency in the product, the value of the product, and have it easily understood as to why in going down the different levels of price points and across that adoption curve, although the same brand, they understand why it's priced differently. So the squeeze is really effectively a strategy that says you don't need to sit on the premium level, but have a strategy around how you're going to attack the back end of the adoption curve and not ruin your brand equity. So have a strategy around how you want to do that. Find a way to do it. Work with your retailers and or if it's a D2C strategy, find ways to communicate the value in your brand and also other generations of products that may be available at a lower price point. Apple is a classic case of this. People don't necessarily need the latest iPhone, but they want Apple. They just don't want to pay for the latest iPhone. So you'll have some people, although iPhone may be at iPhone 11, 12, whatever it may be, they're still okay with the iPhone 6 or the iPhone 7 because they know it's Apple, it's a quality product, premium, and they also know they're not apologizing for a lower price point product because it's understood it's a previous generation. So that is effectively another way that they adopt the squeeze. They're getting consumers from early adopters all the way through the laggards because of that strategy that they've deployed extremely successfully in the marketplace across basically all of their product categories. So emulating what Apple does, Nike does it, Adidas does it. We were at TaylorMade. We did it successfully and gained significant market share. So find a way to deploy the squeeze, but have a plan, have a strategy of how you're going to do that and also how you're going to communicate it to your community. They should easily understand the strategy and how you're deploying it before you do. If you don't understand it, they don't understand it. So make sure you have a plan before deploying the squeeze, but either way, find a way to deploy it in the marketplace and you will be successful and you will gain market share in your category. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Podcast today. I really appreciate your time. And I hope you enjoy the subjects that we're bringing up here with the Visionary Chronicles. It's more diversified, talked about business strategy, areas of support that you need in functional areas, but also on the personal side. There's a lot of things that you deal with as an entrepreneur, small business owner, manager, or executive. So we want to make sure we're addressing those as well. So if you like the content, I just wanted to kind of put something out there that hopefully you could join or subscribe to the Visionary Podcast, or at least give us a shout out on the rating. We'd really appreciate it. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. And for those that do give us a rating, we're also going to be doing some giveaways. We'll have some t-shirts, some different stickers, some rings that we're giving out, some super cool rings on the Visionary side. And different subjects. If you've got some subjects you would like us to talk about, you can see when I introduce the podcast each week that these usually come from our listeners on a subject area of concern with them or area that they would like me to talk about. And also, we're going to be starting our interviews. And if there's anybody out there, we've got about 10 lined up right now. We have former executives from Action Sports Industry, Sporting Good Industry, ones that you'll find very intriguing. We're going to have also some graphic designers that will be joining the podcast as well. So if you've got an idea of some people we might want to interview, I'd certainly appreciate it.